a lot of Americans are in, because they say the average American is like between what, like $6,000 in debt. No, that is definitely a bad thing. And the national debt, I think the national debt of America right now is at $36 trillion. So that means even the government borrow money. Welcome to the Morning Monologue with Dale Elliott. And today I am going to talk about managing and establishing credit. Now, this has been a topic that a lot of people always ask me about and they want me to address it. And just to get it out there, I am not a professional. I make a lot of mistakes. I just can give you advice based off my experiences and what happened with me and how I can now not have the same thing happen to you. And also all the good things that I think I did with my credit, I will also share with you. Now, a lot of people, when we come to the US, we get two different kind of information about credit. One person tell us, don't take out anything on your credit. Credit is bad. It can destroy your life. And another person can tell you to utilize your credit to extract all of the benefits of living in the US. For me, I did the latter, the second, where I chose to utilize my credit to the best of my abilities and my knowledge. And the beauty about credit is there's information about it everywhere. Now, when I first came here, I was told to not get a credit card and try to buy everything cash. And that is good. That is good if you are not trying to really, I would say, expand on your horizon, take any risks, anything that is trying to move you forward. That is good if you're not really interested in growing to a certain level. Credit is needed. And when I first got here, I got myself a Bank of America travel credit card. The reason why I did that was because I was traveling back and forth to Jamaica at the same time, and I wanted to utilize the ability to get a lot of points. So I was getting points because I was going back and forth from Jamaica to here, and I was paying it off every time, paying it off. My first credit card limit was $500. And when I got that, I just started to do all the little purchases, because at the end of the day, building credit in America is very important. All these people that will tell you to not get credit cards and not make car payments, it is a possibility that they probably got theirs and made a mess of it because they managed their finances poorly, or they were in a situation where they had an emergency and they used a credit card and then they couldn't rebound from it. So to me, I would tell somebody that fresh in America to start small, I would implore you to get a secured credit card. Now, what a secured credit card does is it assures the bank that if you should now spend the $300, which you cannot afford, they will now have that $300 that you put as a deposit to get that money back. But eventually, after you've proven to the bank that you can pay back this money, they will take away that security of that $300 and you will just have the credit card to use on a daily basis. This is always a safe way to start building credit, because the banks realize that, okay, you are not willing to spend more than you have. Fortunately for me, they approved me without giving me a secured credit card. I don't know why, but thank you. So If you're in the States and you want to apply for a credit card, I would tell you to go and don't ask for a secured credit card first. But if they don't want to give you a credit card that is not secured, then you say, hey, okay, then I'm willing to put down $300 or $500 to get a secured credit card. There are like 2 to 3 credit card companies that I would think give us a better chance, you know. Bank of America, Capital One also give us a chance for credit cards. And it's always just the first one is the hard one. After you get the first one out the way and you've proven that you can spend it, they're going to keep on increasing the limit of that card. Now, why it is important to get a credit card when you're here is because when you get a credit card and you start establishing credit, now it is easier for you to go and lease an apartment. Because 9 times out of 10, if you first move here, if you're not moving here with a spouse, you're going to want to find a place of your own eventually. So when you get the credit card and you're building your credit for, like, I'd say maybe 2-3 months, then you can go to an apartment complex or wherever you're trying to rent, because then they're going to run your credit. Now, if you do not have anything on your credit is considered young. So you basically have a fresh social. That is not a red flag to a renter, but it also means you have no credit history, which is why I always tell people, don't listen to the people that tell you that credit is bad, because without credit, you cannot do anything. So you can have $10,000 cash and a renter might still not want to approve you for you to live at this place, because you have not proven in the United States that you can work and pay bills efficiently. So credit cards, super important. Now, as it relates to your credit and how you care your credit, you see that social that you got when you come here, that social number should be protected with your life. You shouldn't share that number with anybody. Trust me, some of the time, not even your partner, you should share that number with. Because that number is now your number in America for the rest of your life. And this is the number that people will use to run your credit. And how much times you run your credit in a short space of time is also a big impact on your credit history. So when you just come here, please don't run your credit every chance you get. So if you're going to get the credit card, you run your credit once. Don't go and get the credit card and then you go get the car and then you get the furniture and then now you have everything on your credit this one time, and that is getting a lot of hard inquiries on your credit over and over in the space of like 1-2 months. And you want to minimize the amount of hard inquiries you get on your credit, because a lot of people don't know that it affects them a lot. A lot of places, they do a hard pull and a soft pull. When they're doing the hard pull on your credit, this drops your credit score immensely. So there are certain things that I wouldn't tell somebody to go and run on their credit. One, getting a credit card is good. I wouldn't tell somebody to get like a department store credit card. And when I say department store, I mean like a Macy's or a Lowe's or any place you go to like buy clothes and furniture. I wouldn't tell you to get that kind of credit card. One, the interest rates are super high. And two, some of the time they are limited. So I wouldn't, some of the time if you're trying to like utilize a promotion and stuff, I would get a credit card. For instance, I have a Best Buy credit card. But the reason why I have a Best Buy credit card is because I invest a lot in my company. So I buy cameras. I buy cameras, headphones, microphones. So I utilize Best Buy, TVs, stuff like that. So I have a Best Buy credit card. But I wouldn't tell nobody to go get like a Neiman Marcus credit card or a Nordstrom credit card. Because really and truly, those aren't really beneficial unless it's just clothes. And one of the things that a lot of people don't explain to you about credit card is the interest rate. Now, when you get a credit card and the interest rate, some of the time the interest rates are ranging like 28%, because no interest rates are crazy. When it says that there's a minimum payment due on your credit card, the minimum payment does not stop the credit card company from charging you interest. The only way you do not pay interest on a credit card is if you clear the statement balance. So when you have a credit card, do not look on what the minimum payment is due. A lot of the times, the minimum payments is like $25 or $45. That is not even a dent in the amount of money that is owed on the credit card. So say for instance, I owe $1,000 on a credit card. The minimum payment on $1,000 is $45. If you have that credit card at $1,000 and you pay the $45 minimum payment, they are now going to add an extra 28 to 30% on the credit card that you already have. So when you pay that $45, don't think that you owe them $955. No, you are going to owe them $955 plus the interest that they will add on at the end of the month. So there is no benefit to only paying that minimum payment due. Always try to pay the statement balance. Also, never max out a credit card. They always say a utilization of 30% of your credit is good. Anything over that, it starts to get tricky. And also, what a lot of people don't tell you is that these credit card companies, they will give you promotions like a 0% APR for the first year. That means if you have this credit card, you might not have to clear the balance of this credit card before interest is added until 1 year has passed. So therefore, say you're trying to start a business and you don't want to spend all that cash at the same time, but you want to get the business going, you can now get a credit card. And while you have this credit card, you can use it, and then you make the minimum payment due each month because they won't add that interest until a year. So as long as you clear off this credit card before the year's time, get this balance to zero, you won't have any interest being added on that credit card. Which is why I find it very crazy when somebody tell you to not utilize credit. So some credit I wouldn't consider good credit. No, credit on furniture, I wouldn't advise someone to credit furniture. Because a lot of the times the furnitures is like 0% APR, 2 years. You just have 2 years to pay off like a $2,000 furniture. No, you don't know what can happen within that 2 year. But if you should not pay off that furniture, but if that after that 2 years, they are going to add all the interest that wasn't added within that 2 years. So I wouldn't tell. And then phones. I made a mistake when I first came here, and I watched one of those promotions. Oh, all you have to do is you turn in an old phone and you get a phone free. You're not really getting the phone free. They're going to give you a credit for the value of the phone, and you will forever have a phone bill. So I am telling you, if you come here, a lot of people have iPhones straight from Jamaica or whatever phone you have coming from Jamaica. I would tell you to keep that phone. Keep that phone and don't rush to get on a big phone plan. If you're here and you're fresh here, go to a Boost Mobile, go to a Metro PCS, go to a Cricket, and then get a chip where you're only paying, let's say, I don't know, $30, $40 a month, and you don't have a phone bill debt. Because America is built on debts, and it's a lot of, you are going to accrue a lot of debt here just by coming here. So for instance, when you move here, rent, car insurance, health insurance, phone bill, these are just like five of the bills that you have here. And because of the debt system, you can have a couch bill, a headphone bill, a MacBook bill. Like, you can basically have everything on credit here and live to pay them off every month. And I think you have to watch the amount of income you have to the amount of credit that you are willing to take. So, as I said before, good credit, bad credit. Good credit for me, I would say a car payment. Car payment is a good credit. When you get a car, you know, you can get a cheap car and then get a credit on that. Credit a cheaper car, but a good car. when you credit that car, I'm going to make a video about this separately. When you get the car, you get a car payment that you can manage. And when you can manage that car payment, you show that you're paying that for like, say, 6-7 months. That is very good for your credit score. A lot of lenders always look on your credit to see if you have a car payment, because having a car payment and a couple credit cards is always good for your credit. Not having any of that and wanting to go live somewhere, that's kind of like a red flag for some people. But the thing is, if you have too much hard inquiries in a short space of time, that's a bad thing as well. And what a lot of people don't explain to you about your credit history is your credit history is young until you hit that like 3 to 4 years in America. And then after that now is when you really like start establishing medium to strong credit, because you can download apps. You can download an app like Experian to check your credit score, or a Credit Karma to check your credit score. And these things are very important, because you see that number that I tell you about, that social security number that they give you when you just come here. When you get the social security number and you put that into these apps that I just tell you, the Credit Karma or the Experian, you can have a notification that pops up every time your credit is run, or every time somebody is either checking your credit, or because there are a lot of scammers out here. So a scammer can get your social security number, whether it is they find it online or it drop out of your bag or whatever it is. They can get that number and they can start using it to either apply for credit cards or take out things on payments without you knowing. So it's always good to have your social security connected to one of these apps to check your credit on a daily basis. Now, I would say in America, anything that you're going to do that is important, there is a 90% chance that your social security will be involved and your credit would be run. Whether you're going to get car insurance, if you miss that, it is going to go on your credit. Health insurance, that pops up on your credit, but I think it's like in a different section, so you don't really see it all the time. But managing your credit is super important here, and I feel like it is not talked about enough. And the people that come here and mess up their credit, which is not a bad thing. If you mess up your credit, you can catch back and redeem yourself. But don't tell people not to do something that you made a mistake while you're doing it. Now, some of the mistakes people make where their credit is concerned is taking out a car that they weren't willing to work to pay for, and they end up losing the car. When you get a repossession on your credit, that affects now where you live. It affects the banks. The bank is now going to start looking at you. Like, when you're going to apply for something, a repossession is one of the worst things you can have on your credit. So please refrain from getting a car that you can't afford, or that you're not willing to work hard enough to keep. That's one. Two, your social security number. When you have your social security numbers, I see a lot of people fall into the trap of, yes, I am new to America and I am taking advice from people who are really going to use me. For instance, a lot of people will try to use and put things in your name, or put you on things as guarantors. Trust me, don't be no guarantor for nobody, because they will look on you as you have a fresh social. So you have a fresh social means it is like a free opportunity to like start America the right way. So if you're among somebody can now have you go rent somewhere in your name, or phone bill, light bill. Then can start to put things in your name, because they're like, oh, let me get your social, and then just sign up to something for you, and you don't know nothing about that, because you're not here long enough to know, say, yo, oh, this light building and my name, and how me never know that, or, you know, how me never know, say me buy 6 iPhone, like, them things there happen to millions of people that come here. And if this happened to you, you can leave it in the comments. So, when you come here, don't, as much as your family members mean you good, please just refrain from sharing certain information. Refrain from co-signing for people. Don't co-sign for nobody. And maybe if it's your partner, you can co-sign with your partner. You know, because you're married or, you know, whatever, you can co-sign with your partner. But don't go co-sign with your brethren. Don't share a lease with somebody that you know is not competent enough. As I see that reach a lot of people. I have friends out here that come here and they find a roommate, and all of a sudden the roommate just like move out and just leave them, and they can't afford the rent on their own. Now, please do not just, if that happened to you, you just leave. No, you can find the landlord and try to negotiate with the landlord whether you can go and find somebody else to take over the lease for you, or you go and find another roommate. Don't just leave and not say anything. Because what I learned here is that some of the time credit is negotiable. So say, for instance, you have a credit card and you're realizing that you cannot pay it. You can now start finding other avenues. You can go to the bank and say, hey, I would like to put a stop to this credit card and I want to go on a payment plan to finish paying it off and stuff like that. So you can work your way around it, but don't try to neglect a payment, because it will get sent to collections. And some people here know what collections are because it pop up on your credit. But when something is sent to collection, that is mean that you have shown no intent to finish paying off the balance that you have on whatever you credited. So they send it to collections, and now you are going to have some strangers calling you every day trying to collect that debt. There is people out there that buy debts from collections, debts that people will render like obsolete. Nobody's making any efforts to pay it. And when these people start calling your phone every minute, you don't answer them. It's better to just sort out the debt before it even reaches to that. And also, collections is not something good. Now, a lot of people new to America, or when you just come here, you realize that people keep things a secret. For instance, the credit scores. People keep credit scores a secret. Don't let everybody know you have good credit or new credit, because that is when people will want to ask for favors. You know, like, yo, you know, me I go buy a car, can co-sign for me? No. Because if they need a co-signer, it's two things. Maybe their credit history is not long enough, or their credit history is terrible. And if they don't have good credit, it might be a changed person. But trust me, habits die hard. And if somebody have shown lack of financial responsibility for a long period of time, what is the proof that they will now all of a sudden change because you are now sharing the risk of it 50-50? And I know there are a lot of people in the comments that go through this where they come here and they fell for, yo, you know, I just need you to put this on your credit for me, buy this for me, me I go pay you back, or use your credit card. No, don't fall into that trap. Only use your credit to benefit you. Now, that does not mean taking out a TV on credit. No, you can take out a laptop on credit, because a laptop is important if you're using it for work, or, you know, use a laptop. If you come here, don't credit a TV. Use a laptop until you can afford a TV. You see that song? Because you can watch whatever you're watching on your laptop for a while until you can buy a TV. Credit work supplies. Credit things that you need to use. To credit a car, because a car gets you to work. No, I would not spend $10,000-$15,000 to get a car if I just come to America. No, I would wait. I would use that $10,000-$15,000 to say find an apartment, put down the first and the last. I know that I have, I don't know, 3-4 months rent put down so that I have a comfort, and then credit the car. Some people fall into the trap of crediting the car and then don't even have the job to get the car, keep the car going. So trust me, crediting, when I just come here, I realize how much people actually ruin them life while they're here and make no effort to fix their credit. Now, there is options out there where if your credit is bad, you can go out there and find a credit repair specialist and have them try to deal with it. You can call somebody from collections and negotiate a payment to get that off your credit, because if you are going to move forward here in America, you are going to need that to get the best of certain things. So like certain big phone companies, they want to see good credits. Certain big banks, they want good credit. For instance, if you are thinking about buying a home in the next maybe a year or two, you have to start preparing your credit now in terms of keeping your debt to income ratio low and paying all your bills on time, because this is something that everybody look at. You need credit to get health insurance, you need credit to get car insurance, you need credit to live somewhere, you need credit to, some of the time, honestly, there are so much essential things here that you need credit for that I don't even understand how some people survive, unless them rich. You know, if you have a lot of money and you decide that I am only going to use cash, that is fine. Just know that you will have to buy that house cash, because if you don't have no credit, you not getting no mortgage. That is what I know for a fact. So if your end goal is to come to America and get the American dream, which is to purchase a home and have a family, that is super important. You are going to need credit. You are going to need a partner with good credit. So if you are out there trying to find a girl, or if you're a girl out there trying to find a man, find the person credit score, because that is vital when as it relates to you and that person building and moving forward. A fresh credit score is always a positive. A good credit score is great. Now, what is good? A credit score can range from, I'd say, 400 to 500 on the bad side, and maybe 650 to 800 on the good side. 650, I would say, is an average credit score, between 650 to 680 average credit score. Good credit score start at like 690 to maybe 750. And then great credit score start at like 750, go upwards. Now, aim to be in the 700s. The 600 is not bad, but I would aim to try to get into the 700s. On a personal level, I've had a credit score on all those levels, from the best one to the worst one. When you first come here, your credit score starts in the middle, but the moment you get something, it shoots up, because there is not a lot of data to pull from where your credit is concerned. So you will always start at a super high credit score. And then when you start adding stuff, you get excellent credit. Now, the reason why excellent credit is so important is because there's millions of people in America, and it makes things very competitive. So you want to put yourself to the front of the line. If you are new, you are going to get a higher interest rate than a person that has been here for 15. So you've been here for 10, 15 years and you've managed to show excellent debt payment, excellent debt to income ratio. Your interest rate to purchase a car might cost you $500 a month, and a person with bad credit score, that said car will cost them $1,000 a month because their interest rate is so high. So when you keep your credit score properly and good, you know, can you end up paying less for stuff when you credit it. You end up having a less interest rate on your mortgage. You end up having a less interest rate on your credit cards. So you end up paying less for stuff. And you get to pay less over a longer period of time than somebody who's just paying cash right away. So if you have a $10,000, $15,000, if you have $5,000, if you come here and you have $5,000, I wouldn't tell you go buy a $5,000 car. No, I would tell somebody like that to, because you're going to buy a $5,000 car. The first thing with the $5,000 car is it's probably going to have a lot of mileage and it's probably going to be used. But now, say for instance, you see you have good credit and you have $5,000 and you can now go get a 2018, 2019 Honda Civic and pay $300 a month. But if you have good credit, you might put zero down. So now you have a $300 a month payment and you get to keep the remaining, what, $4,500. It might cost you $500 in total to get the car. And then you get to keep that remaining $4,500 and go do something else while you build the money to move up. So as I said before, remember, I am not like a specialist at credit. I am in no way perfect with credit. I use my credit to take a lot of risk on the business side of stuff. I always try to build credit because there's different kinds of credit. There is business credit and there's also personal credit. Business credit, you get to relieve some of the liability, where personal credit, everything hits you and they're going to check that for everything. So even if you're sick, you can be sick and you're going to the doctor, and after them tend to you and everything, they will send you a hospital bill. And if you don't pay the hospital bill, that is going to go to your credit because they are expecting you to get a health insurance. And when you are getting health insurance, they're still going to run your credit for that. So you can't escape credit. I would just accept the fact that I live in a credit society where it can make you or break you. No, it will break you if you take more than you can manage. It will break you if you take out too much credit at the same time. So 5-6 inquiry in a month, that is crazy. You shouldn't have 6 inquiries for the year unless you're fresh here and you're just moving here, because each hard inquiry drops your credit. Now it goes back up. It goes back up when you start making payments, you know, it go back up. But that first hit will drop your score by like 20 points. Now, if you want to see a credit score drop, miss one car payment, just forget to do a payment on anything, and you're going to see that credit score crash to the ground. Now, because there's so much credit here, you have to practice a lot of financial discipline, and you have to set aside a day for the month to sit and you go through every single thing you have on credit. Reason why I'm telling you to do this is because you need to know when are these due dates and what are the balances that need to be paid. You need to know, try to set certain things on auto pay. For me, I try to have things on auto pay. All the essentials I try to put on auto pay. So I would say rent, auto pay. Health insurance, auto pay. Phone bill, auto pay. So whatever amount of money that auto pay is coming, that's supposed to be, you now can have a specific account for that. And you can name it bills. So all the bills come out of that way. So that's why you separate. I always tell people to have more than one bank account. So you can have a bank account for savings, and then you can have a bank account for bills. So everything come out of that auto pay. Now be very mindful of that auto pay, because when you have something set to auto pay, if your bank realizes that and there is no money in the account, the bank will still pay that bill and then give you an overdraft. So your bank account can go to negative. You can wake up one morning and see a negative 1700 bank account because your bank, your house payment was on auto pay and there wasn't the money to take out. So the bank paid it and then tell you that you owe them $1,700. And when you put back that $1,700 in the bank account to get the balance to zero, they're going to charge you an overdraft fee of like $35. So you have to be very mindful of the things you put on auto pay, and you have to know when what is due. The 1st and the 15th of every month in America is like the scariest month, because one, that is when people get paid, but that is also when bills due. So it's either you try to get all your bills on the 1st or the 15th, or you try to set a little cushion between when each bill is due so that when money come in, you can cover a lot of the bills. And a lot of the people with good credit that only spend cash, it took them a while to get there. So yes, you can only spend cash, you know, but for how long? The greatest people utilize credit. Elon Musk, Jeff Bezos, these are all billionaires, and they utilize credit. You think these people start Amazon, you think Amazon did start with cash? Most of these places never start with cash. They borrow the money and start the business, create a cash flow from the money that they borrowed, and then they keep the business going. Even if they have the cash to operate it, I wouldn't tell anybody to just go and use their cash for anything. Just use your cash for super important things. And what you don't have to use cash for right now, use your credit. Always have credit cards, because a credit card can be a good backup in case of emergency. Now, first thing is to have cash for the emergency. But if there is an expense, if something happens that is out of your control, or you need to invest $3,000 in a product, and that product will give you, say, $6,000, $9,000. If investing this $3,000 gives you that money right away, why not invest that with the credit card? Make the money, pay off the credit card. So in that way, you're building your credit score, and you also don't get to spend your money out of pocket. Always use the bank money to make more money. That is how I see a lot of the people do it. A lot of rich people do it. And you grow faster by that. To me, I not buy no car cash unless it's any car under $10,000, I would buy cash. Over that, I don't see myself spending that amount of money. I feel like I could invest that in something else. Now, comment if you agree or disagree with me, because there will be a lot of people out there that have different opinions where credit is concerned. But in reality, it's all about budgeting. What are you willing to spend, and what are you trying to gain? If you're trying to start a business, live a different level of life, credit is important. Because you're going to want to buy a house, health insurance, you're going to want to do all of this stuff. And if you don't have credit and you're doing everything cash, you're going to struggle. And in case of if there is an emergency and you're living paycheck to paycheck without having credit, you are going to be in problem. Now, the downside to credit is that debt is something that a lot of Americans are in, because they say the average American is like between $6,000 in debt. Now, that is definitely a bad thing. And the national debt, I think the national debt of America right now is at $36 trillion. So that means even the government borrow money. And when a lot of people borrow money, and we keep borrowing the money and we don't know how we're going to pay it back, we put ourselves in a situation where we're now on the slave mill of America. And that is what I think a lot of the people are preventing you from doing. You don't want to get onto that slave mill because it's like a never-ending mill. You're on it and you feel like you're working just to pay bills. And that is one of the scariest feelings in America, because trust me, it happens. Because you tend to, now you realize you have 7-8 bills that you will forever be paying. And you have to keep working. So that is just a system. That is the system of America. And we cannot really do anything about it. That this is the first world system. In Jamaica, what I loved was that we never had to take out everything on credit. Credit wasn't that important in Jamaica as it is here. I know now in Jamaica, people are crediting cars and, you know, getting car payments and stuff like that. But I always only know about mortgages in Jamaica. Now, answer this question to me. Mortgaging is credit, you know. The average house in America, the national average for a house in America is around $400,000. How long do you think it will take you to work $400,000 in cash to buy that house? The average car, the average new car, starts at around $40,000 in America right now. How much people have $40,000 in savings just to buy a car? When you look on those figures and you check it, and you check out how long it will take you to actually purchase the things that is essential, the things that you need in your life, you're going to realize that credit is important. Trust me. I always say this, and it might sound wrong, but listen to me. If I buy a $10 million house, and I can say I am 40 years old, and I buy a $10 million house, and I have a 30-year mortgage. To me, if I pay that house for 15, 20 years, and I have a child, when my child inherit the house, even if me leave this land and I don't finish pay for the house, my child will inherit the house, and the house that him will inherit, him will only have maybe 10 years left to finish pay it off. Or should I just be selfish and say I am not going to credit anything and just pay rent? And in order to pay rent, you need credit. So can't escape credit. You have to just embrace it and use it to make your life better and not worse. But make sure you say you spend your money wisely and utilize your credit wisely, because you're going to add yourself to the slave mill of America. And trust me, the slave mill, the credit slave mill of America, is a serious system that is not going nowhere. So we just have to accept that credit is a good thing and a bad thing. We just have to utilize it to the best of what we can do. Because trust me, we are slaves in this world, in this system, and we can't do nothing about it. So this is my man in reasoning with Dale Elliott. So big up on yourself. I'm out.